Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me begin reading in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And may the Lord bless his word today. You know, whenever we delve into the deep, and as some would call it, dark subjects of the Scriptures, we ask ourselves the questions, well, why are these things dark to us? And the reason for that is because we are natural rebels against the rule of God. In fact, this is the tact that Paul gives or begins with or is the crux of his argument in the ninth chapter of Romans when he says, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? What if God?" Now, man by nature does not like to contemplate the fact that God is God and that he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. There's none that can stay his hand. And in every man, by nature, there is a rebellious streak against that. So much so that one of the arguments that Paul says that men would bring up, and they always do, you can count on it. If you say to men that God is doing his will in the world and all things are happening, then someone will bring up this argument. Well, then if everybody's doing the will of God, why would God find fault with them? And isn't that what Paul exactly said? I mean, didn't he say exactly those words? Men would say, well, if everything's happening just like God, why would God find fault with it? Well, because of this reason. Because of the sin that's in men. Now, it doesn't make any difference how that sin got there. You see, you can't blame Adam for your sin, even though we know for a fact that our sin came from Adam. But you see, at every opportunity you've had, every time when you had the opportunity to turn from sin, you've embraced it. So there's no need to worry about Adam. That's the same argument that men use about their environment. Oh, well, I'm not guilty of this crime, Your Honor, because I was raised by an abusive parent. And they caused me to be like this. No. There are no excuses. And that's what Paul goes on to say. Nay, but oh man, there is no excuse. The Lord brought these things to us and made us aware that we should be without excuse before God. So it doesn't make any difference about whether a man likes the theological arguments about these things or not. The truth of the matter is that we're guilty before God. And whether we were guilty, we know what the truth is. And we know that God has appointed, even as He said here, these receive not the love of the truth. They didn't receive the love of the truth. And the Scripture says, and for this cause, because they didn't receive the love of the truth. Now, how do you receive something? It has to be given to you. How'd you receive the love of the truth? If you believe it, if you've received it, it's because God gave it to you. And there's plenty of folks that have not received the love of the truth. And why didn't He? For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Men do believe lies because God ordains that it be so. Now, by the same token, it is also true that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, you see, that's the glorious thing. And this is the testimony of mercy that God has shown in the earth, that He does cause men to believe, that He does cause men to see the truth. It is indeed true that there be many who shall perish, not having received the love of the truth. But Paul says this. He said, notice that he put that but in there, right after he said that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, men don't have a problem with that if you're talking about unrighteousness being laying out in the bar all night and doing, you know, wicked things like that. That's how men like to consider they loved unrighteousness. Well, no, there's going to be many religious people whom the Lord shall say in that day, depart from me, I never knew you. They're in the same boat these people are. They loved unrighteousness. Well, what was the unrighteousness that they loved? They loved their own unrighteousness, thinking that it was righteousness. They went about us to establish their own righteousness. They said, well, we're all right. I mean, our religion's just as good as anybody else's. And my mom and daddy believe this and all of this, and we've grown up this way, and this is good and everything, and so we'll just follow that, and it's fine. It doesn't make any difference about all that stuff they tell us. We love it. But they shall perish because they loved unrighteousness. Because, brethren, there's only one righteousness with which God is pleased. And it's demonstrated right here and manifested for us right before us right here. It's the righteousness of Christ. And wicked men despise the righteousness of Christ when they go about to establish their own righteousness. It doesn't make any difference how sincere they are. You don't think Paul was sincere? I'd tell you there's not been a more sincere man in all the world than the Apostle Paul when he was riding towards Damascus intent on destroying the very faith which he came to embrace. Yes, he meant it. He believed it. He no doubt had done good things. But you see, he was still at that point in time in his life despising righteousness. But then he says this, they had pleasure in unrighteousness. And I'm telling you, any man that has pleasure in any righteousness of any kind, shape, form, or fashion that is not totally wrapped up in that righteousness of Christ alone is loving unrighteousness. Amen. That's why the Lord said that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. Not to mention our sin, but our righteousnesses, the very things that men hold dear, those are the things that are despised. But the righteousness of Christ is that which we stand upon, or we hope to stand upon. I mean, do we? You know, we say we do, but do we? I find myself oftentimes thinking about my own righteousness. And it breaks my heart that there could be within me any fault of such a thing when God gives me a right mind. You know, I was thinking the other day about the publican and the Pharisee when he went down to the temple to pray. And we all know the story. We all know the thing. But which one of us have not looked not at the publican and said, I thank thee, Lord, I'm not as thee. But we've looked at the Pharisee. And we said, there's that old self-righteous Pharisee. But I'm not like him. Oh, my. See, in the day that we begin to compare ourselves among ourselves, then we begin to build a case for our own righteousness. Dear brother, we're not a bit different than the publican or the Pharisee. We identified with both of them. And when we get to thinking that we're not like either one of them, then we've done the same thing that the Pharisee did. And we're going about to establish our own righteousness. Our righteousness is in Christ. Or we don't have any that's going to be of any value. And so Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Because. And dear brethren, if we stand in the righteousness of Christ today, it's because we've been chosen from the foundation of the world. Amen. Not a thing that we can say that can make us acceptable in the sight of God, but the mercy and grace of God bestowed upon us and given to us. He chose us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, how is it that men become the sons of God? They become the sons of God by the grace of God. No other way. You can't become a child of God by any other means than by the grace of God. But the evidence, the manifestation of the children of God in the earth is that they have been chosen unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Lord said that He would send His Comforter. He would send that one to be a teacher and a helper and a leader and to guide us into all truth. And He would give us a belief of the truth. What is the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The disciples confessed it when they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And dear brethren, it is to this that the children of God are called. It is this that marks them out in the midst of the earth because they believe those things that the Lord has said are true. Now, they don't always feel like they believe it. They sometimes look at themselves and say, well, you don't act like you believe it. But they always believe it. They're always somehow or other driven down to the feet of Christ to confess their sins and to fall upon their faces before Him and cry out for mercy because they know that in Him and Him alone is the help that they seek. They can't find help in the ways of men and all the platitudes of men and the encouragement of men and those that tell us, oh, everything's all right. No, I don't want somebody to tell me everything's all right. I don't want somebody to pat me on the back and tell me I'm doing fine. I want to be found in the presence of Him who is alone is righteousness. I won't be wrapped up in the blood of Christ. And dear brethren, this is what it is to believe the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what is manifested here today. Because the Lord Jesus said to His disciples to do this until He comes again. Dear brethren, we have not been called if we be believing these things today, we've not been called to be ashamed. We've not been called one day to be disappointed, but we've been called to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Do you have a hope this morning? I mean, do you have an expectation in Jesus Christ? Is He your hope? Is He the one upon whom all your expectations are built? I mean, is there any other thing in which you are, have confidence today, in which you stand and you're willing to venture forth from this world, standing upon any other than Christ alone? If that is your honest confession, then He bids you come to this table. Because this is the body and the blood of Christ. And the Scripture says that in the same night in which He was betrayed. That was a good point you made about Judas. I've often thought about that. It's like Samson. You know, if Samson had been like the Incredible Hulk or something, men wouldn't have wondered where he got his strength, would they? I mean, if he was Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, they'd have just said, well, man, he's a big, strong dude. But no, Samson was evidently just a common, ordinary guy. But yet he did remarkable things. And they said, well, where did he get his strength? They didn't know. They didn't understand. And so in like fashion, dear brethren, it is the grace of God that has appeared to us and shown us that it is by the righteousness of Christ alone that we stand before Almighty God. We don't appear. God's people appear to be quite ordinary folks in the earth. But yet, they're not ordinary because the Lord has chosen them to salvation through sanctification of, and belief of the truth. May the Lord give us grace that we might this day come and take of this, even as Judas was there on the night when the Lord gave this, and they didn't know. His disciples didn't know who He was. Brother, there can be among us those who are deceivers. It can be me. See, every one of the disciples, as far as I know, except Judas, asked Him, Lord, is it I? Is it I?
He asked Him also.
Well, maybe He did, but He didn't ask Him at the first. He wasn't the first one that asked Him. You could be right. I had to look. Maybe He did. But He knew, you see. He already knew ahead of time that He was. But the disciples, see, and the point I'm making is this. I don't believe that it's possible for a man who really believes that he is a deceiver to be deceived. In other words, a man who, let me put that right, a man who believes that he can be deceived is not likely to be deceived. It's the man who believes that he can't be that is the most likely one to be deceived. Because you see, deception is a real thing. And the Lord has told us to come knowing that we could be deceivers. He didn't reject his disciples saying, well, you think you can be deceived? Well, you doubt whether or not you're one of my children? No, He didn't reject them on the basis of that. Because he knew that the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God works in the children of God to reveal to them their unrighteousness, they don't necessarily always feel like the children of God. And they know themselves that they're not worthy of the least of his mercies. But in his kindness, he has given us this supper. And in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he told them to eat it. And he said that this bread was his body and this wine was his blood. And so we come here today. And in the same fashion, hoping that this is indeed that upon which our hopes and trust is built.